I wasn't expecting this to work first time, to be honest with you. But I haven't got the playlist set up yet, so let me remove Martha Reeves and the Vandellas and see if we can set up a playlist here. So it's Soul Kitchen, actually. It's not Technocratic Tyranny Blues at all anymore. This is Soul Kitchen. So do I want it to be a call-in show? I don't really know. I actually don't know whether I want it to be a call-in show or not. Let's just put something by The Who in here, though. That's Babber O'Reilly's always a good way to start. And Behind Blue Eyes is a good way to start, so let's do that. And then move on to something else. So let's try something else. What do we want on here? Who, what, when, where, how? Let's try that. Four Non-Blondes. And what's the story, Morning Glory? Let's go with that. We're doing Who, What, When, Where, and How today, by the looks of it. When a Blind Man Cries, definitely. When the Sun Goes Down, Arctic Monkeys, that's definitely a good choice. Solomon Burke, why is Solomon Burke in there? Let's put a couple of Solomon Burke in here just because they came up when I was searching. Don't really need to have any other reason. All right, there's a little bit of a playlist there. I'm about halfway there. So there's still nobody in the room. But I'm about halfway there with the playlist. So let's see what else we can find. Where? Pixies, Where Is My Mind? Where Is the Love, Black Eyed Peas? Those will do the job quite nicely. And How? Right, Calvin Harris's version of How Deep... Is this the old How Deep Is Your Love Bee Gees tune, I'm wondering? I don't know. And do I really want to add Whitney Houston to this playlist? I don't know. How You Remind Me as well. And a little bit of Howlin' Wolf. Welcome, Rocky. Welcome, Rocky Raccoon. It's an improvised show, so you're welcome to call in and have a chat if you want to. I'm just setting up a playlist. Oh, hang on 2 seconds. Let me get there. Oh, was I quick enough or not? Try again. Or there we go. Let me do this properly. All right, there we go. We got there.
How you doing, Dennis?
I'm all right, man. I'm improvising. I wasn't even really expecting the tech to work, so I was surprised by the fact that it was working. And then I've got to send the playlist, and now I've got to work out which show I want to do. But you're welcome to hang around. How you been? You okay?
Oh yeah, I'm good. It's snowing here again for the umpteenth time.
Right. Are you in the Rockies? I'm guessing you're in the Rockies, are you?
I'm over by the Rockies. I'm in southeastern Montana.
Right, okay. All right, so that explains the snow, probably.
Well, we've had more snow than I've ever seen here. I've been here about 28 years, and I've never seen it snow this much so early and last all winter. Usually hits us in end of November, 1st of December. This year it started in October.
Right, so the winter's getting longer, basically.
Yeah, so much spreading out. Climate change.
Yeah, well, that is climate change.
No, climate change is four times a year.
You know, exactly.
Spring, summer, winter. You know, I mean, you got to do something to keep people under control, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of manipulation around it, but there's, yeah.
That's also to keep the people in fear and do as I say, not as I do crap. You know, that's been going on for centuries.
Yeah, there's an element of that. There's an element of that. I think the people who are in charge actually believe it, though. That's the problem.
No, they don't believe it. They just want to keep you in control. And like they've been saying for the last 2.5 years, you'll own nothing and like it. You know, they want to put you in a 15-minute city or put you in a camp somewhere and say they're going to re-educate you. And all they're going to do is just improve their slave labor abilities. That's all comes
down to. The 15-minute cities thing is a big, big problem. It's a big problem.
Well, you know where the first 15-minute city came from in the last 100 years?
I don't, man. I don't know.
The German ghettos. When they separated the average person from the Jewish population in Germany.
Right. But presumably before the invention of the automobile, everything was 15 minutes cities anyway. Well, 15 villages or whatever. You can only walk so far.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people don't realize that most towns are only 20 miles away from each other. You know, the old towns, I have a bunch of them around here. And that's because that's how far you could pretty much ride in a day to get somewhere and come back. 40-mile trip, round trip on horseback.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all when we actually were local because we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
That's the way it functioned. So.
Well, back then you didn't have Walmarts and big box stores and stuff either. You only had what you could find and only basically what you needed. You didn't have the extravagance of spending and spending all the time, you know.
And you could only carry what you could carry.
Exactly. You know, and you only had enough money to buy what you needed, not what you desired. You know, I mean, I know guys that drive into a big city about once every 2 months just to buy a new TV because their old one is outdated. The new one's outdated before it hit the shelf.
Yeah.
They keep designing more stuff into them.
They're always going to come
with the blues.
That's exactly. That's the problem. The problem we've got is people chasing their own tail and not realizing they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, they've been trained. Cool.
Yeah. Going around in circles with consumerism.
Yeah.
It's part of
it. You go to work and pay for those bills you made over the weekend. And then you get back home on the weekend and you got two free days to play in. And you end up cutting your grass or doing something around the house and getting ready for Monday morning all over again. I mean, it's just a continual grind. And people don't realize that because they've been programmed to accept that as that's just part of life, you know? And
yeah.
They give us all these things, but that they advertise heavily to brainwash people in to go out and buy those to keep the big corporations in business. I've worked in small shops. I've done construction. I've done all this stuff, and people don't realize it. When you're brainwashed into buying something that's beyond your real means, and I say real means, is you don't have to kill yourself to pay for it. You know, you find out that people who really don't have a heck of a lot compared to the Joneses are happier than the Joneses, because the Joneses are trying to figure out how they're going to get ahead of everybody else all the time. And that's basically what it is. I mean, I don't have new cars. I don't want a new car. But people look at me and say, well, why do you live like this? Because I'm fucking happy. You know, I don't have the stress. And that's what kills you.
Exactly. It's a mindset shift. It's like, yep, if you're already happy, you don't need to find something to make you happy, because you just generate the happiness yourself.
Yeah. Go out and do things that other people wouldn't think of, you know, not dangerous stuff, you know, not rock climbing on the side of a sheer cliff or kayaking down a Class 4 rapids, you know, but you can go out and go fishing. You can go out and see the sights in nature. I've seen stuff that probably haven't been seen out here in 100 years, found by the first explorers and stuff here in the New World. The Indians knew where the stuff was, but I go out here now and how I even come across old mining sites from, you know, the 1800s. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff you can find. I found petroglyphs that nobody knew were around, and I just stumbled on them. It's like, wow, what's this? You know, and follow a little path along the hillside and come to a little outcropping with petroglyphs carved into it. It's like, well, you know, but, you know, to each his own. I mean, you do what you can in your area, but some people, they go to work, they come home, they sit on their butt, they watch TV, get more programming, go back to work, and that's their life, you know.
Yeah, follow, you can only
football games and follow sports, follow entertainment. Those are all court gestures. I mean, sports back in the day when it was started wasn't a sport that most people lived through. The sport was, you put some gladiators in an arena and you beat the crap out of each other and the crowd goes wild and one person's left standing. I mean, now it's, you pay millions of dollars to one person to carry a football or to do something, you know, hit a tennis racket, you know. Those people aren't, you know, those people aren't too smart as far as being able to be on their own or to live without somebody being a handler for them and telling them where they have to be on Monday or Tuesday or getting practice for the next 2 or 3 games or some crap. You know, it's a common practice, but why do we pay people who play sports millions when we pay people to protect our government farmers' wages, actually lower than farmers' wages, because you're on duty 24 hours a day and you're willing to risk your life for your job? Not too many people can say they do that. Most people say, well, if I don't like it here, I'll just quit. But if you're protecting the country, you don't get to just quit, not without a big hassle, you know. And that's the way our government has been able to run for a long time. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of built-in assumptions and built-in limitations and lots of obstacles to get through, plus the consumer society, plus capitalism, plus all of the other things that go along with it.
That was my alarm going off.
All right.
Don't worry. It wasn't an alert. That was just telling me it's 8 o'clock here.
Yeah, I wasn't. I heard that last time you were on, and I wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah, it's my alarm. It scares the crap out of people in stores.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to sleep through it. Definitely not going to sleep through that one.
You know, people here in America say we need to pay slave reparations to the black people. What about the Irish people came over here as slaves to the central bank? You know, everybody on the face of the planet right now that is the common folk are slaves to the system. Where's our reparations? You know, I mean, there's so much crap they sling out there and propagandize and brainwash people with. You know, they're right now the big thing here in America and a lot of places is white people are racist. If you think it, white people are only racist, but you have another thing coming because there's only one race on this planet. It's called the human race. Everybody else just different color, just like used cars in a car lot.
Exactly.
Interior got the same amount of wheels most of the time. Some have three, and we have people have, you know, one less wheel. Some of them have a cracked windshield. Yeah, we got some of them people running around here too. But we're all the same. We all do the same thing. We're all able to do the same functions. But it's just a propagandizing that they've done to the masses and to keep them under control. Subjugate, divide and conquer. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to buy into the agenda, do you? Don't let anybody else set your agenda. That's the key to the exactly. whole thing. If you buy into their agenda, then you're subjugating yourself and making yourself a slave.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we have the right to live as we see fit, not as this government tells us we're supposed to live. You know, fall in line, little minions, and do as I say. And if you, like, here where I'm at, you can't go out and just take water. You're not allowed to catch rainwater. You're not allowed to just dig your own well without paying for it. Because here in our state, they have taken the law into their hand and said, if you want water, you have to pay for water rights to draw that water. And that is such an antiquated bunch of crap, because water is the essence of survival for anything on this planet. But that's how they control you. Pay for city water. City water sometimes ain't better than well water, depending on which, you know, how deep you went. You can't go out there and lap up 5 gallons of water in a bucket and carry it home. If you get caught with it, they can fine you for it because you didn't pay water rights of $20. You know, it's crazy the way they've mitigated everybody's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that if it's a company that's taking a lot of water out of the system and further downstream they're going to lose it, that's a different thing. But if it's just an individual digging a well, I don't see what the issue is, really.
I'm one of only three wells in my little town here, a little farming town. I'm one of only three people who have a well because it was here since the 1950s. And the guy next door to me, he made an extraordinary amount of money to have a well put into his place so he could water his yard without having to be on the city budget, you know, because they charge you, you know, so much per gallon. But I can water my yard and I don't have to pay a dime other than for the electricity to run the pump. And that's part of the slavery thing that I'm talking about. They tell you, yeah, you have to pay for the electricity. You have to pay for the water, right? And then you're only allowed to do it so many times a year or some crap, you know, because it dwindles the supply. I sit in a river delta that never freezes. You know, and there's always water here. It's been going through here for eons. And this whole valley is covered in gold, but you got to go down about 60 foot to get to it from the old ancient riverbed. And this riverbed's six, seven miles wide through the Dago Mountains. But they won't let you mine it on your own property because they've already secured all the mineral rights.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy the way they've done it. Here you have to have a permit to mine. Say you find a mother lode, you find a good vein of gold or silver and you want to dig it up, you got to pay for that. You only get 20 acres per permit. So you have to buy a whole bunch of permits for a certain amount of land. Then you have to reclimate the land back into its natural existence. And then you're fucking taxed on all the stuff that you drew out of the ground. Then you have to process it. And, you know, they just make it so difficult for anybody to get ahead as a commoner. And I say commoner freely because that's what we are. We are just common folk. And everybody that makes more than $500,000 a year is in the upper crust around here. And there's a lot of rich people in this valley that own a lot of land. I mean, some of these Dagon count our ranches are just about as big as some of our East Coast counties. You know, 500,000 acres. Some of them are measured in miles. There's a couple million acre ranches here.
Right, that's a fair old size, like.
Yeah. Anything under 2,000 acres is considered a hobby farm. You ain't making much money off of 2,000 acres unless you're working for the corporation. You know, and we have people who plant barley for the beer companies. That's all they do. They raise barley, and certain times they come out here to collect the harvest. They test it to see what the protein level is, and they'll have a cutoff, a beginning and a stop for protein and everything else they don't want. And they end up feeding it to their cattle. That's the way the system is. I came from farming families in the Midwest, and they all lost their butts when they had the farm bill come through. They went from being rich to being almost poor, and some of them actually had to leave the farms. It destroyed them, and people like DeKalb and Monsanto went in there and bought up the land and stuff and made corporate farms out of it. There's just so much people don't understand because they don't want to take time away from the TV to understand anything. They just want to follow along blindly. I like rocking the boat. I want to see how many instant swimmers we can have, you know.
Yeah, I do a little bit of rocking the boat myself here and there.
Yeah.
But there's only so much you can do, really. You've got to just pick your battles, I think, is the key thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to pick your battles and be good at what you're talking about and what you're doing. I mean, I've actually cleaned stores here of all this mask bull crap that they had going on. And nobody ever bothered me about it again because I was stating the facts. I was in the medical industry for a while, about 18 years. I understand what law is because I worked in the JAG office for a while, understood what the difference between a law and a mandate is. I would contact my local sheriff and say, has anybody passed the law yet for this face diaper? Nope. It's okay. That's all I need to know. And I know the woman who was trying to instill the crap. She was one of the doctors my wife had. And I went over to her office. She had me kicked out. She didn't want to talk to me because she knew I would upset her. I don't know why she did it other than the fact of the power, money, and control she had over the county, but I didn't play their stupid game. I did wear a mask one time. I walked into a store with my Zorro mask on. Made me a little right. Zorro mask to cover my eyes. And it says on the door, you must have a face mask to enter. I walked in there. I said, oh, you can't come in here. You don't have a face mask on. I said, what do you think I'm wearing? He goes, no, that's not a face mask. That's not going to save anybody. I said, well, save Zorro so many times. You know, and everybody started laughing all through the store because everybody was, I mean, I was pretty loud at that point. Everybody started laughing and stuff. And I said that.
Yeah, it just makes the point. Just makes the point, that's all.
Yeah. These people follow blindly because they're after the money that they're going to attain or the services that they're going to attain. But I've been in different places where they said, yeah, you have to have a mask on, and I quiz them about it and stuff. And then finally, when I get to see who I'm looking for, they ain't wearing a mask either. I said, why aren't you wearing a mask? I don't believe in that crap. So, well, good. Tell your heads above you to stop the crap and let people live again. You know, I mean, it's all a big sham. The mask even tells you on the wrapper will not protect you from viruses.
Absolutely.
I used to do a lot of OSHA stuff because I was in medical supply for a while. That was one of my secondary jobs, was taking care of medical supplies. And I had to read this stuff. I didn't have to, but I wanted to read this stuff to learn what I was getting and learn what it was about and everything. And I found a lot of stuff that back in the 80s that really started opening my eyes up to the fraudulent medical society. And I call it a society because they're the ones you're supposed to trust. We're doing it for the betterment of man. Well, why are you pushing this stuff? You know, it's 90% poisons if you take it for too long. Oh, well, it's got better ratio of treatment. That's why they call them practicing physicians, because they never mastered their trade. You know, they're told what they have to go and use and what they have to do and how they're going to do it. Even with beyond their better judgment, they have to follow an agenda or an algorithm of treatment.
Yeah.
Not cure, treatment. Because why cure something for pennies when we can suck dollars out of their pocket forever? And if they die, no problem. Another one will take their place. You ever see a doctor sitting in his office and nobody ever comes through? Eventually, somebody's going to start filling in the spots. You know, fill in that loose schedule he's got. And that's what he does, you know. It's crazy. I mean, the whole system is just needs to be taken apart.
I agree with that.
The old home stuff that people survived on for eons has been thrown away because one man told his modern medicine doctors on the first graduation that home remedies will not be talked about with patients. They're quackery. And it's really bad when you have the statistics of medical malpractice exceed the death rates of everything else.
Yeah, it tells it all.
It's 500,000 people die every year from medical malpractice.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with the system. There's a lot of things wrong with the algorithm.
It's all about making money. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a raise, prices go up. You know, you look at a fast food joint. Some of our fast food joints are offering $15 an hour for people to hand out sandwiches. That's not going to affect the price. That owner is not going to let the money slip out of his hand. He's going to jack the price up. You know, what used to be a dollar hamburger is now a $3 hamburger. And that's what causes inflation. People don't realize that every time you ask for a raise, you're inflating the price so that you can buy other things in other locations that have raised their prices because they had to raise their wages. And it's that's inflation. That's basic inflation. The rest of the inflation comes from the government basically borrowing money, and they have to keep the people happy or they'll get disruptive, but they also have to pay an interest rate on a bill they can never pay off and keep the central banks happy. And it's just a cascading effect, and it causes your prices to skyrocket, and the amount of money that your currency has dwindles. Now, people don't understand that. I mean, if people quit going to the stock market and said, no, we're not playing no more, I'm cashing in right now, that would cause a major collapse of the stock market. And people don't realize if you don't act quickly, you lose what you have. But where does that money go? It stays at the stock market. The owners of the stock market are still going to make what they want. The companies will lose money and the investors lose money unless they've been able to cash out on insider trading ahead of time. And this legalized gambling is all the stock market is. Yeah, it gives you money. So does the lottery. You know, you might not hit the jackpot, but you know, you may make a few hundred dollars here and there, time to time, just like the stock market. People say, why don't you invest in the stock market? It's great. I said, well, I don't know, man. I just figure I can buy something that's going to last me forever, and I'll still have it when your stocks go to the dirt, you know? And if I don't need it, I can always sell it to somebody who's willing to buy it from me. It's a good barter item when the stock market crashes and the dollar's worth nothing. It's like collecting gold, and people go, Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. Bitcoin's good unless the power goes out, unless the government takes over the Bitcoin industry, and then they can just shut it down and you've lost your investments. You can't use it for certain things right now. And if the government gets a hold of it, if they don't like you, they can shut your Bitcoin account down and you have nothing in the bank. You can't, you know, you got groceries in the cart to feed the family for the week, and all of a sudden you can't buy them because your Bitcoin is zeroed. Until you act right again, according to the government. And people don't know how to grow their own food because it's been bred out of us not to have to grow anything. So why waste my time? You know, and people nowadays are scrambling to learn how to do the simple things that made people live long lives. There's so much involved in this. I mean, you could talk for days on just a couple subjects on what's going on. And most people would just say, oh, I'm tired of listening to this. I don't need to know this. It doesn't bother me or something. Until it hits them. And it's like, well, I should have been listening to that one broadcast, but now the internet's down because the government got a hold of it and I can't retrieve any information. Buy books. Go back and find the old books.
You can find the law technocracy.
I mean, technocracy is going to kill us if we don't wake up.
Yeah, I think we do need to go back to the 70s at the very least.
Actually, we need to go back further than that. We actually need to go back to the late 40s, early 50s, or maybe even back to the early 1900s. And, you know, early 1910s up to World War I, which started a big escalation. Because people are going to have to literally eat things they never thought they had to eat, drink things they never thought they'd ever have to drink, and sleep in the rain, sleep on the cold hard ground or the muddy ground or the frozen ground, because they won't have nothing. They'll be out there just like the homeless people in the United States, which is an atrocity, because the United States hands out billions and billions of dollars a year in the name of humanity and don't give a crap about their citizens, because we should have the daggone streets of gold and nobody hungry and nobody homeless. But we don't. We bring in millions of people across the southern border right now, and nobody's blinking an eye except for a few people who are saying this ain't right. You're invading areas and taking over areas, and the police won't do nothing about it. The government won't do nothing about it because they need the voters for the next time they think they're going to be able to vote. I mean, there's so much stuff is going wrong in the world today. So many things have been left open for so long, and now they're being exposed. And some people are waking up, and some people just say, oh, I'm not going to mess with that. I might lose everything I have. If you let the system go the way it is right now, you will lose everything you have. Because in every government across this planet, if they want your stuff, they can take it. Bill Clinton signed the law that the government can come in and take whatever they want out of your house and remove you from that house if they want. A lot of people say, oh, that's not right. Look it up. It's in one of his executive orders. I don't have it written down right now. I got it written down, but I don't have it here where I'm at. But people don't realize that we're the ones on the bottom of the daggone stepladder. We can't see the forest for the trees because we've been brainwashed and told not to worry about it. Everything will get better someday. But they decide to make it better. And there's so much stuff that people have, so much stuff that people have to think about. And some people are just lazy to think. Some people don't know where to turn to look for it. And we have a library at our disposal called the internet. And depending on which internet system you get on, depends on what kind of information you're going to get. Because some of it out there that they bring out is called felonious. It's called conspiracy. Misinformation that now are turning back around and say, well, okay, we made a mistake. And yeah, that was true. And it could have saved millions of lives, or it could have helped millions of people get through hard time. But before that, they scorn people like me. And there's people even using ivermectin on stage 4 cancer and curing it. The doctors are saying, oh, you can't use ivermectin. It's a horse dewormer. Ivermectin's been used for a lot of things in human medicine. But it wasn't used as a cure. It was used as a treatment. Yeah, it treats the worms. It's also antibacterial, antifungal. And when you understand human anatomy, I've taken a lot of classes, a lot of college credits in anatomy and physiology, and everything that affects the body is a disease. How long that disease stays in your system determines whether or not it's going to kill you, or your body will be able to naturally fight it off. Some things it can't and needs something. And that stuff is out there. We're told to spray in our yards to keep it down and not have them things in our yards are actually the cures. Here in America, we have something called American opium. It's called wild lettuce. And you can boil it down, render it to a tincture, and it's a painkiller. Used it for centuries here. We learned it from the Indians that were already here. They knew what this stuff was. They were taught back in their histories what we use for this and that. You know, and People don't realize that your immune system is the most vital thing you can have in your body, because we're bombarded every day just breathing in and out and touching things. We're bombarded with 60,000 viruses a day, and we got 15,000 viruses that help our body maintain itself. And it sounds crazy, but look it up. You'll see I'm right.
Well, I'm not convinced that viruses exist, so I would have to disagree with that.
A virus is nothing but a parasite. Everything that attacks your body is a parasite. Cancer is a parasite. It's a cell that thrives off of the surrounding cells to make itself bigger. It's a parasite. Kind of like politicians. They're parasites. They have no real function in life, so they become controllers of the surrounding, what's around them, and they suck it from everybody around them. That's a parasite. A germ is a parasite. It has to have a host. And how that host is affected, it depends on how the surrounding bodies affect it. Your immune system sends out stuff constantly. It kills the parasites. Unless you have already a medical problem that your immune system was shot at birth. Other than that, you've acquired something that might have shut down part of your immune system or killed it completely, and you're always sick all the time for no reason whatsoever. The disease is what they used to call, in what they like to call mythology, decease. Cease is where everything runs fine in your body. Decease is where things go out of whack. And disease is nothing more than an English translation of the decease words. Decease means that you're not in harmony with your body, so now you have something affecting you. And, you know, it gets into a lot of different things that you can do, things you eat. And one of the biggest things you can do to save yourself is stop eating the freaking junk food and read the labels and see what's in it. Why do we need to eat titanium dioxide? It's a food coloring. It's also a heavy metal. Mercury is a heavy metal. You can't have a mercury thermometer anymore, but they'll shoot it in your arm when you get it shot because it helps it. You're not supposed to eat aluminum, but they'll put it in a can, or they'll add it to your food as a flavor enhancer or a preservative or an oxidant. And it causes, one of the main causes of Alzheimer's is aluminum or aluminium, whatever you guys call it over in England. You have a different way of saying it.
Aluminium, stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is only a partial amount. We have barium in our food. We have barium in our medicines. It's a freaking poison. We have all kinds of poisons. I've gone through the system from the 1980s all the way up to today, and I used to be able to talk to the people at the manufacturers, and I used to be able to talk to the people at the FDA and the CDC, Health and Human Services. I don't get those numbers anymore. When I call, I don't get the answer machine. I get a damn busy signal. They've blocked me. They won't take my call. And it's really funny that they're doing that crap, because they know I'm going to ask them a question and they're supposed to answer it truthfully. When you have a manufacturer putting something into your department of like FDA, who approves it for the nation, they require certain things have to be put in it. The manufacturer can put whatever else they want to put into it. And every medical facility, every medical manufacturer, and every medicine producer is tied to who? The oil industry. Because that's where the chemicals come from. Because they cannot manufacture and put a patent on an item that is produced in nature as a whole. Like, you know, you can't have heroin as a painkiller or a antipsychotropic drug, but if you remanufacture it into morphine and add a few more things to stabilize it, then it becomes a patentable item. If you don't manipulate it, you can't put a patent on it. How does a grain manufacturer say GMOing corn into what they call F2000, which is used in, or it was used in ethanol production? They patented that name. They patented that corn. You, if you raise it, you have to do this, this, and this to get a good harvest out of it so you can make your money off of it. But that corn is a natural item that used to live here for thousands of years. The Indians grew the stuff all over the place. They didn't have any sciences, like in microbiology. They just grew what they had because it was good to eat. But now they've patented all of our daggone grains that we have. Every one of them is patented because they GMO'd them, genetically modified. And they've done the same thing with cattle. People say, I got to have an Angus steak. I can't have just a steak. I have to have a black Angus steak or a red Angus steak, because there's two types of Angus. Those are genetically modified cattle to have the best meat cuts on them. They have the best meat cuts from the Holstein, I can't think of the name of the other nether. It starts with a C, and it's not cow. It's a Charolais cow. I know guys who raised Holstein and people who raised the Charolais, but when they brought the Black Angus out, nobody wanted those cattle, so they had to bring in the Black Angus and replace the cattle they were using, because that's what people required to have because it had the best meats on it. But it was a GMO. Not to mention all the inoculations the cow gets before it goes to slaughter. Those systems were...
Yeah, the cattle inoculations is going to be an issue now. That if they turn those into mRNA, then we're all in trouble, because we're all getting it via the meat system.
Well, you know, if you get a shot that's got an mRNA in it, they're actually rewriting your DNA, because mRNA is a building block. It can attach itself and attract things and reorganize things. You have two helixes. You don't need a third one. If you get a third one, you're no longer a human. You are now a product by the government standards, and they can take your human rights away from you. Where did we hear that at? The book 1984 talks about it. I mean, they've been telling us for a century on what they're going to do to us, and everybody just enjoyed the movie, you know.
Yeah, it's all in Brave New World in 1984 and Fahrenheit 451.
You go back and look at Charlton Heston's movie Soylent Green. They're already talking about that stuff now. Think about when they go and take over the country and they decide to put a fence around your city and hold you captive inside your city now. Let's think of the movie Escape from New York. That's what they did to New York City in the movie. They surrounded it and sealed it off. But I've been called crazy and a conspiracy theorist. I don't know what I'm talking about, you know. And people are now calling me up all the time asking me the questions about this stuff, because they weren't listening when I told them the first time.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where people are starting to notice. I notice when I'm on the Tyne Bridge every few weeks with a sign telling people about vaccine injuries and 15-minute cities and Agenda 2030 and all that. And the response is different now.
Yeah.
Used to be people would ignore you. Now they're giving me a round of applause out of their cars as they're driving past.
Yeah.
Big.
I get stopped in stores, man, from guys that I've talked to years ago and coming up to me and asking me questions and stuff, and they're actually getting a little bit of knowledge just from their own research and stuff, and they're starting to understand and wake up. You know, I mean, that's what it takes. Somebody has to stoke the fire. I tell people, I'm here to plant a seed, not to weed your garden, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to trust people to wake themselves up, but I can still wander onto a bridge with a sign that points them in the right direction and plants the seed. But it's not my job to wake people up. It's their job to wake themselves up, ultimately.
Yeah. The one thing I always go by is you can only help people who want to be helped. And you notice who those people are because they'll come to you and ask you. I mean, even if it's a person doesn't quite agree with them, if you sit down and try to have a conversation with them, a lot of times you can actually get them to think, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. Holy crap. Oh, my gosh. You know, and that's what it takes. You almost have to take a two before and slap them upside the head to get their attention. And then you start giving them facts slowly. And, you know, it can be just on one subject or it can be on several subjects, depending on the person. And you'll see their eyes light up when you start telling them the facts. A lot of people just want to ignore everything because they don't want to rock the boat. Don't get in the boat with me because I'm going to rock it. And if you can't swim, you're either going to sink or swim.
It's surprising when you get into a conversation with people how many people are ready, though.
Yep. A lot of people are waking up now, but it's almost too late. But we were told here in America by President Trump, I can tell you the facts and you won't believe me. So you have to see the facts to believe it. And he also said, this is a big movie. And a lot of people say, oh, this ain't no movie. Well, who do we have as a Secretary of Treasury at the time? A movie producer, a good movie producer too. He made a lot of great movies or produced a lot of great movies. And another thing too is when you're in a high position like that, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I learned that a long time ago. You see who your friends are on your worst day. They're the ones that'll stand by you and help you out. Everybody else will just ignore you because we've been taught to put labels on everything. We got to quit putting labels on everything. You know, just because you don't like the way a person sips their coffee or eats their dinner or the length of their hair or the kind of clothes they wear doesn't make them a bad person. They might be the best person you ever meet, but you got to put your hand out there now and then and say, hey man, how you doing? You know, we're here to help each other, not here to fight constantly.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, it's a shame that we've gotten to this point, but you know, every civilization has failed. The only difference is now we know we have Wi-Fi. You know, we're just Rome with Wi-Fi or Babylon with Wi-Fi or Egypt with Wi-Fi or whatever civilization we'll talk about, you know. And they all come to a point of some time. Every civilization has always came to a point of destitution and has failed. And then everybody breaks off to use the same ideas over and over again. And it creates the same effect every time because nobody looks back at history anymore. You know, don't worry about that. That's old times. That's old stuff. You don't need to learn that. The old ways are what get you through things. Old government are the things that destroy what you're trying to work for. And we're under an old government system. I say it, democracy. Democracy is one step away from communism. And people are starting to see it now. They want to take your rights away. They want to, once you do this, you have to do that. You can't do anything. And people don't realize that in a republic, you have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom of religion. You have the freedom to express yourself. You have the freedom to live as you see fit. Just don't kill anybody. If you steal from a neighbor and he beats the crap out of you, oh well, maybe you deserve getting the crap beat out of you for stealing. And you could have asked a person, hey, can I have that? I notice you're not using it. Or can I borrow that? Instead of just walking over here and taking it from the shed, you know? I mean, we got away from public executions because it was bad for the kids. Now, that taught the kids that if you do this, you're going to swing one day. You know? But we had to go to a polite society, and politeness destroys everything. Destroys everything, because now you have to worry about somebody's feelings. Here in America, my rights don't end where your feelings begin. I have a freedom of expression. I can say whatever I want. If you don't agree with it, walk away.
At the same time, that applies to everybody else as well. So everybody else has the right to express their own opinion or their own feelings. Everybody has the right.
Able to control everybody that doesn't believe.
No, nobody has the right to control anybody else, but everybody has the right to express how they are and how they feel.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with expressing it.
And all these heads in the upper world echelon think that they are the ones in control of everything. It's only because the people want to subside and subsist on those people's terms and not their terms. And they're unelected. We don't know who they are. We don't know how many there are. All we know is they got a grasp on everyday life. You know, they spray you with chemtrails, and most people don't believe in chemtrails. But when you look at what some of these people who worked in the industry are saying on their deathbed, you know, it makes you wonder. You know, people talk about all kinds of things on their deathbeds now. I mean, you know, you go back to some of the stuff that some of these people talked about in the 80s and 90s and were suicided. You know, even some of the new guys, and I say new guys, and within the beginning of the 2000s, all the guys who brought things out into the open were suicided or mysteriously disappeared. Why? Because it went against the agenda. And if you go against the agenda, you're a bad person. You can't seek your own refuge. You can't seek your own lifestyle. We will tell you because you're too stupid to understand what life is about. And that's what it's got us right now, is people blindly follow along because they're programmed.
Yeah, there's programming in every direction. There's programming. Well, we're basically living in a feudal system, a feudal hierarchical system.
Yeah.
So, we get the programming from the previous generation.
Well, we get the program from the generation that wants to be easy. Hard times make hard people. Soft times make wussies. You know. I know guys and women who can't go a day without going to McDonald's and having that sandwich. They have to have it every day. They'll stop at nothing to get it. And I go, you're systematically poisoning yourself to a suggestion that you need to buy this food because it tastes great. And then I tell them what they put in it because I know what some of the recipes are. I have friends. After 67 years, I got a lot of friends. And they tell me what this stuff is. And I look at some of this stuff that I used to sell because I'm a trapper, I sell beaver caster. Beaver caster is used in a lot of food as a natural flavor enhancer. And they put all kinds of stuff in our food to make it taste great. Food isn't supposed to taste great. If it didn't taste so damn good, we wouldn't have so many diabetics in the world. The United States has more diabetics than any other country in the world. People sit on their butt, watch TV, and munch out on junk food. They don't exercise. They bring in more calories than they put out. If you don't walk off what you ate, then you're going to get fat. There's no miracle diet. The only miracle diet is get up and move your butt around and burn off the calories and keep your waistline down, keep your, you know, whatever you're trying to get skinny down or maintain. But most people get in there and they just go into some kind of a rant of eating, and you get like these 700-pound people they have on TV. Yeah, they got a brain problem. Yeah, they got a brain problem because they didn't get proper nutrition. It's all in the chemical balance. Take too many bad chemicals in, it will destroy stuff. Artificial sweeteners, they're now saying publicly that they do cause brain problems. But for a long time, for like 40 years, you know, actually back in the 60s when they brought out stuff like soda pops, they had a lot of soda pops that had artificial sweeteners in them that were actually bad for you, but they tasted great. And the production was up and the sales were up and they were happy. Everybody's happy. And now some of those people have had strokes, dementia, all kinds of health problems and stuff. And people say, well, I'm insulin dependent. Yeah, but you can wean off of insulin if you do it properly. You have to know how to do it. I know how to do it. I've talked to a person who instructed people, who was a diabetic doctor, instructed people on how to get off of insulin. He said, I've done it many, many times, and people were happy once they got off of it. And they found out that they were living the wrong path. But everybody has to bow down to peer pressure to get to the point to where they're in desperation. I mean, if you have somebody who says, man, you got to try this new beer. It's great. It's got a high alcohol content. It's got all this good stuff. It tastes great. Puts a nice head on the glass. But is it really what you need? It's okay to drink a little alcohol now and then. It helps your blood system. But they call it spirits for a reason. I was an alcoholic. I know what I'm talking about. I drank those spirits, and those spirits ran me up and down the walls. I mean, you think I'm an asshole now. When I get tanked up, I was a big asshole. But that was the spirits, you know? That was the manipulation of the alcohol. But anything in excess is bad for you. Even if you're a runner, it's bad for you because sooner or later, your joints are going to give out. And if you're not eating properly, you might not make it to a prime age before your joints go out. And then you're limping around in your 30s. Nutrition is where it's at. And we don't get proper nutrition from a bunch of the junk they sell us. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
If you look at the egg industry, in Sweden, they almost destroyed the egg industry in Sweden. They got some people together and said, if one out of every three people here raised three or more chickens, and they did, the people started growing chickens. Then they started having abundance of eggs. They didn't need all the eggs. So they started giving them out to other people. And pretty soon, this got to a big, big problem for the egg industry. It almost bankrupted their egg industry. And that's what it's about. You're not feeding it. You know, if you look at the yolks on a store-bought egg versus a a farm raised by just a, you know, a small farm, you know, guy's got half dozen chickens. You'll see the egg yolks are different because they got more protein in them, or darker orange color than a yellow orange color. Yellow orange color is a manipulated embryo because of the feed they're giving them. And right now they're having problem with chicken feed because it's causing these chickens not to produce. Say, oh, well, they don't lay in the wintertime. No, chickens lay constantly. They will lay, but they may not lay as much when the weather stresses them, but they will lay. But when you're feeding them certain types of food, it makes it egg production lower and lower. If you have them housed in a building and you're running an egg conveyor, basically, eggs are dropping out of the cages and going in the conveyor to be counted. Those chickens are getting fed certain things that are going to enhance them to produce more eggs. And those eggs are going to be lower quality eggs. And if they're not being fertilized by a rooster, that also affects the ability of the egg to help your body, because eggs are high in a lot of chemicals naturally. A small farm egg is got more natural chemicals your body can use to make your body work better than a store-bought egg. My wife gets hers from a person who grows about 30 or 40 hens, and she goes in there and buys eggs off of them, and they taste different. They taste better, different colors. They might not be as big as a jumbo egg. Just depends on which chicken dropped the egg. I mean, there's several different varieties of chickens, but it's the fact that they're not being fed a GMO feed that's going to affect the egg laying ability for the purpose of making profit. This woman just sells the eggs because she got too many of them and she likes raising different breeds of chickens. But you know, that's for another day. Just like with pigs, I worked in the pig farm over here for 2 years, and if I started with the guy at who managed in the cow pig produce. And we basically raised pigs to breed, to have babies. The babies were shipped out to other farms to be raised up for slaughter. And he used to school me in how these things work and all this other stuff. And he quit being the salesman of pig breed. And it's the cow breed, the white pig. He's the first one to tell me that pigs are the other white meat. Okay? Pig is the other white meat. Pigs that do not have, or I should say tame pig, really all pigs, don't have dark meat on them. They're not dark red. They're white. And when I was shooting hogs, I noticed, you know, I processed a pig. Damn thing is white as a piece of chicken. And it's like, people go, oh, that doesn't look like pig. No, that's because I didn't put food dye in it. People are propagandized into the red meat look. It's got to be red meat. Got to be red meat. So they started pushing pork with food dye in it to make it look like beef. But pig meat is white. Even the wild pigs are white meat.
Yeah, man, the food color and marketing gets everywhere.
I worked in a slaughterhouse for a while, in a small time slaughterhouse, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that once that animal comes off the cattle truck, goes through the processing, gets packaged, it's flash frozen with a bunch of stuff being dumped on it. It's flash frozen. Then it goes to a warehouse, a refrigerated warehouse, and it sets until it needs to be taken out. And you might think you're getting fresh meat from the store, like, you know, one of the big box stores. Just remember, if it ain't from yesterday, I say yesterday, it wasn't processed yesterday, it ain't fresh meat. It's been sitting somewhere on a boat coming from who knows where to sitting in a warehouse waiting for a truck to deliver it to some place. And that might be on that truck for 4 or 5 days before you get it. It ain't fresh meat. It's been processed. It's been refrigerated or frozen. And it's set somewhere for an extremely long time that does not make it fresh meat. And a lot of times when you flash freeze, and I found this out, that if you want good meat, you hang it for a couple of days between 33 and 38 degrees and let it hang so it will literally start to decompose, which is what makes it tender. You let it hang, but it's got to be with a certain temperature range. That meat relaxes, it cuts better, it tastes better, it chews better. But store-bought meat, you can get, you know, you can get your ribeye and you can have a daggone wrestling match with a ribeye steak that you bought at the store trying to chew it. It also depends on how you cook it too. If you cook it slow, take your time, tastes great. If you go in there and slap it in a pan, roll it over a few times and eat it, yeah, it's going to be tough. It doesn't have the relaxation or the curing, as they call it. But we've been propagandized into it. Got to go to the store to get it. I get mine from a butcher. And that stuff, I know where it comes. I know where the origin of the cattle comes from. It comes from a farm here. And I get my meat. I know the processor. I know the owners of the cattle. And I get it straight from them. There's nothing added to it. It's not flash frozen. They will freeze it just because they have to store it in their freezer. They will store it, but it's usually in my hands 3 days after the damn thing has been processed. And they process a couple truckloads at a time. And it costs a lot cheaper too, man.
Yeah, the local stuff's always a bit cheaper.
Yeah, as long as they're not a chain store. I mean, getting a chain store, a lot of times the chain stores keep up with the other chain stores. But if you get basically a privately owned store that gets their stuff, you still have to kind of understand what's in the cans and the packages, find the origins to them and stuff. But I was able to get the information for what I got from the people who raised it. And it's like, yeah, you need to go talk to so-and-so. He's our butcher. Okay. We'll talk to him. And he now knows that I could walk in there any day and assume a job in his place and start butchering animals. Because I've gained that knowledge. I got a meat saw in my garage. I got a meat saw and a grinder in my garage. I can make my own, you know, buy a cow, drop it out there, gut it, get it on the truck, bring it home, slice it up, vacuum pack it, throw it in my freezer. You know? But people don't understand that you can go through life knowing one job all your life and not expanding your knowledge to anything else that would help you, especially when you're at a point where you can do something simply, but you just don't know how to do it. You know, it's like fixing a drain. Most people won't fix a drain. To call the plumber. Plumber comes out and takes 5 minutes. It costs you $200. And you could have done it yourself. All you had to do is drop the P-trap and get that toy out of the bottom of the sink. Or use it a simple thing like a toilet auger to push that last log out of the tube, you know, and for $15, $20, $25, depending on which one you buy, you have one in your house, you won't blow your seal out using a stupid plunger, which is only supposed to be used on sinks, and you don't waste your toilet out by blowing the seal off of it and dropping stuff down into the underneath your house. I learned that because I worked with the plumber for a few years. An old guy, and he said, this is how we do it here, and this is what we're going to do with this. And I learned those secrets because I was willing to sit down and listen to the guy. He's long since passed now, but he was an old plumber from, like, probably had 40 years experience. He knew that. And he wasn't just a plumber. He used to install water lines in the city. He used to install sewer lines. He had all that equipment. And I learned how to do a lot of that stuff just listening to him. And he would show me what they used to use to do certain things with. And it's like, wow, okay. And I've got those items here in my little tool cache where when I need one, I can go out there and grab it, go do my thing. But most people say, well, I don't want to get my hands dirty. You're going to get your hands dirty when you just lay down in the middle of the damn street then, because your days are numbered anyway. One day you may not have nobody to call on, and you're going to have to figure out what to do, and hopefully you won't kill yourself.
Yeah, man. Rocky, it's been a pleasure. I'm going to have to close the room down, I think, because I need to walk around the block, get some exercise. But it's been a pleasure as always.
Thanks for putting up with me.
No problem, man. No worries at all. It's been fun. All right, I'm going to occasionally open this stuff up, but roughly this time. The time shift into daylight saving times confused me a little bit, but I'm usually this time, or roughly this time.
Yeah.
So it'll be on the list somewhere. All right. Thanks for coming in, Dina Jo. Thanks for coming in, folks.
And thanks for having me on.
No worries, man. Anytime. If you see the room open, just come on. Just come in. Right. That's the show for today, though, folks. I shall see you, maybe see you later on for a music show. Not sure yet. I'm going to have a walk around the block, stretch my legs, and see how I feel.